would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Turn over to 112. Let's do God Leads Us Along. In shady green pasture, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cool flow, bathes a weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Sometime on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley in darkest of night, alone. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Though sorrows befall us and Satan oppose, God lead his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. Children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. All right, Rodney Brown, go back to 339. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Let's see, we'll do the second verse a cappella. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, he met the need of my heart. Shadows and valleys of joy and feeling, made all the love of his heart. Thank you. sinner's action so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came, took of the offer of grace it did proffer, save me, O praise his dear name. Heaven came down and glory fill my soul, when at the cross the Savior made me whole, made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory fell. My soul, fill my soul. Now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. Future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And the transactions of the whole day, when at the cross I believe, eternal and blessing comfort from his precious hand I believe. Heaven came down in glory. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away.
Amen. Some good encouraging truths here today as we're singing those songs. What a day to have the glory of the Lord and going out and trying to explain to people what it's like to be forgiven and to convince them to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is, sometimes that can be kind of a frustrating thing. We don't have to be frustrated people, but just sad when you see someone turn away from the Lord and they've got, anyway. I'm always reminded of the saying, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. And I feel like that happened last night. Someone was like, wow, I've never seen all this before. Would you like to accept the Lord? No. Okay, well, it was a good conversation. I'm trusting the Lord will continue to use it. So, what a glorious day to remember our salvation. Let's take our Bibles, turn to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, as we're moving into a new section in James and yet still meditating upon the old section as we go into new, so that we're making the connections and seeing how they relate to one another. And we'll begin reading in verse 14. It says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." All right, so we are moving into something that is considered one of the most maybe challenging passages. I certainly remember memorizing these verses and saying, can faith save him? No. What? Wait a second. What? And the clear implied answer there is no. And we say, wait a second. And then interesting enough, it says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now, if you understand the Reformation and the truths that have been championed out of that aspect of it, is we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. All right, so you're like, so there's an element that some have seen the Apostle Paul on one side battling against James on the other side, and they're taking up swords and doing battle with each other, and Some have even gone to say that James is addressing Paul directly. Now that's just blatant unbelief, because the Bible never contradicts itself. It's always true in everything it says. So I do remember being kind of challenged by this, but I do remember some explanations that have been very helpful to me in the past. So I hope this, if there's still any bit of angst in your heart to understand it, by God's grace, you'll come out of this study with a better, clearer focus, and you'll feel like Paul and James are not fighting each other, but they're standing back to back, fighting off separate enemies. And I think that's going to be really neat. So as we look at this, so the focus of this is, and of the whole section, is that faith is a kind of a focus on a dead faith. Faith without works is dead. You see that in verse 17. You see that again in verse 20. And that is how the section concludes in verse 26. So we have three repetition of this idea. It's very clear. This is the main focus of this part of chapter 2. And so I'd like us to kind of focus in back on this concept of faith. We use that word faith to describe everything in our lives. You and I, we are a part of the faith. We are the believers. And I'm coming to that place where I cherish those words. I recognize that when God said anything that's not of faith is of sin, that he really meant that, because faith is fundamental to who we are. It has to be a part of every action, every decision, that we are trusting the Lord in that moment. And so it's just a wonderful thing to continually keep in my mind, say, okay, where's my faith? What am I trusting in? Am I believing the Lord? But the funny thing about faith is that you can say you have faith and you can profess to have faith, but can anyone really examine inside of your heart? That they really know. And I don't know if this is so much about someone else knowing, is it's about us knowing. Because I can say that I believe, but I really want to know that I truly am a part of the faith. And so James is going to point to this, and he does not say in this passage, he does not say this, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man have faith and have not works? You see that? All right, how many of you just heard me read that and have no idea what I left out? No one's going to. How many of you do know what I left out? All right, we got one. All right, good. Let me read that again real closely now. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man have faith and have not works? So we have to understand right from the very beginning, this passage is not putting faith and works over top of each other. It is actually putting off this profession of faith versus a possession of faith, all right? So it's very key that we catch that a man may say that he has faith, but he doesn't have any evidence for that faith. And so it's very important for us to understand that, because this passage is not teaching this. It's not telling you that you as a believer have to have faith. Oh, that's good. But you've also got to have works to be justified by God. So the formula would be, you put your faith in Jesus Christ and you do certain works, and now you're justified in Christ. It is not faith plus works. You know who teaches that doctrine? Yeah, the Roman Catholic Church. That's you talk about faith. Oh, yes, we have faith. But what they require is that you continue to do these works, and by works you are saved. And they will actually, some that are more astute and even have a biblical reason for what they're trying to do, will go to this passage, and I've had them do that before. But that's not what this passage is talking about. So it's one of the important aspects of this is it says, can faith save him? Now, in the original language, the word faith has a little word right in front of it. It's actually an article. It's a the. Now, the word the, and that's why it gets a little challenging, is you could say, you'd be literally and say, can the faith save him? But I don't think that would be a very good translation, because then it sounds like the faith of Jesus Christ. Can the faith of Jesus Christ save him? And he'd be like, you wouldn't be implying no at that point. Yes, it is the faith in Jesus Christ that saves. And if we look back, you can look at faith as the foundation in chapter 2, verse 1. Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respective persons. And it is the subject under which trials are going through. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So this book really is focusing on faith in a big way. One of the usage of the article in front of the word faith is that it's referencing back to a faith that's already been mentioned. So what he's talking about, he's saying, can a man stand over here and say, oh, I've got faith, but you look at his life and there is no works whatsoever coming out of his life that demonstrate that he has faith? So he's asking the question, can that kind of faith save someone? And the implication is, and so there is something in terms when we come to faith, there is something that we have to call an empty profession. All right? Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is going to be received. So it's not just about vocalizing something. And in fact, this is partly the theme of, I say theme, this is one of the emphasis of James, because he says in verse 26 of chapter 1, if any man among you seem to be religious, and I think he's referring even to oneself. This is self-evaluation. Oh, I think I'm a pretty religious person, but he bridles not his tongue. And so part of what James is trying to do is undeceive us so that we have some very good tangible tools. Now, you could take this angle and say, can faith save him? What kind of salvation are we talking about? Are we talking about saving someone physically? Are we talking about eternal salvation? Because you could be saying, well, I think we have some reasons why we should say eternal salvation. Chapter 1, verse 22, he has mentioned the last time he used the word save, he says the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. So we're talking about eternal salvation. At the end of the book, salvation is mentioned about eternal salvation as well, saving souls. And then even looking back at verse 22 here in this chapter, it says, seest thou how faith wrought with his works? It talked about, oh yeah, verse 24. See then how that by works a man is justified. All right, so he's talking about the kind of salvation that's incorporated in terms of justification. So we are talking about eternal salvation, and it's faith that shows itself in works, rather than an empty profession. And so he goes on to say, okay, I'm going to make this really super duper clear for you. And he gives an illustration. And he starts off with a hypothetical, the word if, and that word if is the same word that's found in verse 14, the word though. So he used a hypothetical situation here. If a man were to say this and have not works, is that possible? And he said, I'm going to give you another illustration of this to see how it sounds to you. And he says, if a sister or brother, he's talking in the Christian realm, so he's saying there would be a Christian brother in your midst, and they be naked and destitute of daily food. Naked here has the idea of, you might think of in rags. Part of you can tell here is he says, be warmed and filled. So they are not adequately clothed for the conditions that they're experiencing. They're cold. So here they are, they're in this condition of being cold because they don't have clothing sufficient to the weather, and they're destitute of the food, but we're talking about the food that they need for that very day. And he says, one of you says to them, shalom. But this is not a shalom that means, come, I'm welcoming you. It's shalom. See you later. And I really hope that you are warmed and that you are filled. And yet you do nothing to help them. Did that person receive any profit from your empty words? And you realize, absolutely not. Everyone can see that as clear and as plain as day. Therefore, empty words still lead to empty stomachs. One put it this way: if your faith does not benefit others, it will not benefit you either. It's pretty interesting. Our faith must produce something in our lives. And he says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. You think about a corpse. A body has all the form of a human being, but if it doesn't have breath, it doesn't have life. It'd be like saying there's a fire, but there's no heat. You ever seen a fire with no heat? Oh, I go inside, and man, there's a wonderful fire in the fireplace. And you're like, oh, kids, watch out. Don't get close to that. And they say, no, it's all right. There's no heat. We got this switch over here. Turns it on and off. Click, click. You can change the colors. You're like, oh, really? Okay, wow. It's kind of got the appearance of fire, but it ain't fire because it doesn't got any heat. See how what he's talking about? Faith and works go together. Those are inherent in understanding. And in fact, this is exactly what the Apostle Paul teaches. Let's go to Ephesians. Just look at three passages. Ephesians chapter 1. There's probably more that could be compiled, but just Ephesians 1:15. Someone like to read that for us? All right, see how those two go together? When you put your faith in the Lord Jesus, it produces a love unto all the saints. We can turn the page and go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. In fact, I think we could probably all quote that. Quote along with me. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I don't know of a passage that puts things in a little bit more clear light than that. Are you saved by your works? Absolutely not. Because God doesn't want it to be anything that we have done. It's all of what he has done. Salvation is a free gift. God gets all the glory. That's the theme of the Bible, the glory of God. But when he saves you, he makes you by his work. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for a specific purpose, unto good works. Those who are truly born again, changed, transformed from the inside, have a job to do. And we don't do it all the time. We don't do it as well as we should, but God guides us to produce fruit. And I'll turn over to one more passage, Galatians chapter 5, I think it is. I don't have it in front of me. Oops, going the wrong way. Galatians 5, verse 6. Now he's arguing for salvation by grace again. And he says, verse 6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith. What kind of faith? Faith which worketh by love. So there's something that God does. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are transformed. You are born again. You have a new nature that is defined by this word, love. And that love motivates you that when you see someone in need, and we're talking about genuine needs, very clearly, in terms of they cannot get warm, they cannot eat. He says, you are moved. Your faith will compel you to help them. Because that's what genuine faith does. And so, really, the contrast here is between faith and no faith. Because dead faith is a faith that's not operative at all. It's not even real. It's merely professed. And so it's not a contrast between faith and works, but between certain one kind of faith versus another kind of faith. And that will become very clear because both they're going to spar off here and argue back and forth, and both of them are going to claim faith. But one's going to claim it without any works, and the other one's going to claim it through the works that they produce. And so I think God's going to help us to push upon our hearts to say, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're not sitting here saying, oh man. You're saying, what can I do to show my faith? That I love the Lord Jesus and I love his people. How can I demonstrate that I love him? And may God help us to do that. All right.